there.
And it's not early. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, almost, a little past. So first of all, two things. The last time I spoke on Thanksgiving was 31 years ago at my bar mitzvah, where my parents were nice enough to thank you. My parents were nice enough to surprise me. This is a true story of printing a T-shirt. You know, like guys get T-shirts, and I didn't think I'd have one. My parents surprised me, and they got me a T-shirt for my bar mitzvah. So all my friends are there and whatever. And the teacher said, "John's bar mitzvah, November whatever, 1983 whatever," and it had a big turkey on it. And my parents thought that was cool. It was the most embarrassing day of my life. So hopefully this one will go a little better. So that's one issue. Also, just want to dedicate this year, Lili Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Chavashen Dobas Yukusil HaKoin, her Kamas Maseva is next week, so I just wanted to make sure that we do stuff in her memory. She also brought a lot of light to my life, and that's really what we want to talk about, a little prelude to Hanukkah. You said it's a little early. I don't think it's ever too early to prepare for a Yontif. I want to set up a few facts about the Yom, about the day. First of all, I just want to publicly announce, if anybody thinks it was far to drive from Farakway to Highland Park, Edison, I don't know what, where we are, what, but which one's which, it's very confusing.
We're on the border.
We're on the border, Baruch Hashem. If people ask me, I am a big fan of this area. I did wonder, Ari Engler was in camp with me, why he was moving from the Five Towns to Highland Park, but meeting the rest of the guys from the area, knowing a little bit about here, is now I want to follow his path, though. So we'll see what we can do for that. The, what? Wow. Take as many donuts as you want.
Welcome, John.
So I want to start with three facts before we start. Number one is on the timeline. You just need to know where Hanukkah falls out in terms of Jewish holidays. And that's very, very important to know. Hanukkah is the last Jewish holiday that occurs. Right? Purim takes place in between the first and second, Batei Mikdashim. And the holiday of Hanukkah falls at in the middle of the second base of Mikdash. After that, we have no Yontif that's going to occur really until Mashiach comes. We can debate Yom HaAtzmaut, but right, that's the last officially, without any question, no one will debate, right, last debatable holiday that exists. That's a long, long time ago. And how are we going to last through that? Number two is Galus Yavon. This Galus, there are four Galus, and this Galus, how is that different than all the others? There's the famous story of how to sum up every single Jewish holiday, right? They tried to kill us, we won, let's eat, right? Which is why I believe it's one of the major problems of Yom Kippur. It's the only day that we tell all the Jews to come to Shul, and we don't give them food. And maybe that's one of the reasons I think that we have a little bit of an assimilation problem, is we invited them to Shul the wrong day. Maybe they should come Purim, Hanukkah. We do have the let's eat part, but never in Hanukkah story really do we mention that they tried to kill us. What they tried to do is they tried to Hellenize us. They tried to make us into Greeks. It says, we'll get to the Medrash in a minute, but it says, right, the Yavam said, Kitzval Kevin Karen Ashur, right on this horn, that She'ein Lachem Chelek Beloke Yishol. You're not part of the Jewish people. There's no God. There is no God. There's nothing there. So fact two is, the Galus Yavon is that they wanted to make us a nation that didn't really, not die, but didn't really have any connection to the Ribono Shel Olam anymore. And that was much different than most other times where people tried to kill us, and most other holidays we celebrate. And three, I think, is a very, very important point. And we're here celebrating Thanksgiving, and the Thanksgiving is a very nice day. It's the last Thursday. I don't know why we chose this day in November, right? But why that day? But whatever it is, for me, there's a certain Kedusha Sayom, the spirituality of the day, right? Because it's my bar mitzvah anniversary. But like for everyone else, it's just a day that we celebrate every year. Jewish holidays are not like that. Refersh says that the holidays go in a circular path, not in a linear line. Every year we hit that point again where there's a certain Kedusha, there's a certain holiness. So on Rosh Hashanah, we all know what happened on Rosh Hashanah?
created.
The world was not created, but that's good because everyone says that, right? Adam Arishon was created. So the Kedushas Hayom is, what's a Kedushas Hayom? Great, Rosh Hashanah, you can recreate yourself. Right? That's the spirituality of that day. Yom Kippur, everyone knows what happened Yom Kippur? The Luchos, we got the Luchos again. That's the day we were forgiven. Pesach is the day of freedom, right? It's that spiritualness of freedom, of that aspect of a Kedusha Sayom. And every year when you get back to that point, you're like, wow, we have that Kedusha Sayom. You got to tap into it somehow. So if we don't have, with the 20 shopping days left till Hanukkah, we got to figure out what that Kedusha Sayom of Hanukkah is all about. So if you look at the second source, right? The first source was the Medrash, but the second source is the Gemara in Shabbos. Interestingly enough, right? Hanukkah has no Masechta. In Shabbos, a little we're mentioned, and we'll talk about that a little, right? It says, my Hanukkah, the Tana Rabbanon, that we learn, the Chafei B'Kislev, Yom the Hanukkah, Timna Inun, there's 8 days, Tilo Lemaspid, Bahom, Tilo Anos Mehen. We don't fast, and we don't give a eulogy. Tama, or slash, whatever your Rebbe tells you to do, right, we all know the story. When the Yevanim went in, when the Greeks went into the Heichal, they defiled all of the Shemen. When we, the Maccabim, were successful, right? It's like looking for that last box of matzah, Erev Pesach in the store, right? They found one thing left with the right kosher seal. There was only enough to burn one day. And it burned for 8 days. This is an unbelievable Gemara. The next year that they established Hanukkah for Halal Vehoda. So the Mefarshim explained, what's the question, my Hanukkah? So the Ron says, my Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah? That we all know the famous Hanukkah, Chanu B'Chafei, they rested on the 25th, right? They were battling and they rested, and so too we rest. So the Marsha asks on the Ron, he says, what are you talking about? We don't rest. It's not a yomtiv. We all know that on Hanukkah, there's no aspect of stopping malacha. What are we doing to commemorate that miracle? If we were really resting, if it was a rest, we would do that. So the Marsha says that no, it's really, the reason it's called Hanukkah is because of Hanukkah Samizbech. That they had to rebuild the Mizbeach. The Yevanim used it for Mamash Avodah Zarah. It was a horrible time in Jewish history. If you can only imagine, the Beis HaMikdash was the pinnacle. It was the ultimate place, and they were using it. They turned it around for Avodah Zarah. So the Marsha says, no, Chanukah Samizbeach, which is interesting to note in the whole history, if you know a little, right? The original Chanukah Samizbeach should have been on the 25th of Kislev. If you want to talk a little bit more about Kedusha Sayom, the Mishkan was finished that day, but we waited until Rosh Chodesh Nisan for that. But really, that day was established. We'll talk a little bit more about that, what the Kedusha Sayom is. So, if you look in Rashi, which is the next Mar Makom, it doesn't seem to fit into either one of those. Rashi says, "My Chanukah al Eza Nes Kavua." Which Nes are we celebrating this holiday? So, if you look back in the Gemara, the side note, it's really a side note. Now we're going to take a slash, and instead we're going to make it parentheses. It says, the Tana Rabbanan, I just want to let you know, Chafei B'Kislev, don't give a hesped, don't give a tithe, don't fast. This is a special time period. That wasn't the answer to the question. The answer to the question comes next. Now we know the famous story of the oil. They couldn't find any oil. They found, right? They found one. They lit it for one day. It lit for 8 days. There's a famous question. There's a million answers. It's one of the greatest questions of all time as a student, right? Why did it burn 8 days? What was the miracle on the first day, right? Why does that? You can't get that question wrong on a test. There's nothing, right? There's 100 million answers, right? That's the greatest. The multiple choice on that would be like, you know, how many letters, right? So Rashi's trying to say that. What's the question? The question is, what's the miracle of that day? What are we celebrating? Really, we're celebrating that the oil, right? So what's the obvious? That if you know the little bit of the history, right, and we know the story, there was a few bunch of Kohanim, right, never known to be the greatest fighters of all time, right? Whatever we want to say, they beat it's like the Lions winning on a Super Bowl, right? It's an impossible thing to imagine, right? Pardon the mushel, right? Although it's pretty realistic. How could a bunch of Kohanim, a small group of men, beat the Avonim, the powerhouse, right? How could they beat the Patriots, right? Right, which is also, right? How could that, it would never happen, but it happened. And that's really what we should celebrate. If I told you, okay, great, that's good to happen, but really what we're going to celebrate is the oil miracle. What? But why that? And that's what the Gemara is clearly telling us, and we know in all our history. So, let's turn to this Pesukim in Bereishis. It's an amazing medrash that comes at the top of the page, but we'll see. Right, the first pasuk is Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim Va'aretz. The second pasuk is, we all have heard this before, Va'aretz Haysa Tohu Uvohu Choshech Al Pnei HaTohom. So if you look up at the medrash, right, Reb Shimon ben, at the top, Mar Malkum, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, pasuk Kriya Begalias. He says this pasuk is talking about the Galias. Va'aretz Haysa Tohu Zegalas Bavol. And he brings a Raish and Emar, Rises Aretz Vinato, Vohu Zegalos Madai, Vohu is the Galos Madai, right? Ve'avil Lavi as Haman, that's the Purim story. V'chui, as we go down through Jewish history, are more of our Galos. Choshech Zegalos Yavan, Shechshicha Neim Shal Yishal, they darkened the eyes of Yishal, because they were saying, Shehaisa Omeris Lahem, Kisu Al Karen, Ashur, Shein Lachem, Chelak, Elabake Yishal, right? Like we said before. They darkened it by saying, you have no God. There's nothing in your life. It's all whatever we want to say, scientific knowledge, and makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, we can't do it. Don't tell your science teacher. You can. We'll get there. We're not going to blow, take away all science. Alpine Tom, Zegal, Machlus, Arisha, right? That's Edom. They couldn't really mention that in the Medrash. It was going to get blotted out, right? She'elem Cheker, Kamota, Tahom. They don't have any substance like the Tahom, right? And it brings a raya afterwards. We see that pasuk in the Chumash is really telling us what are the four galus, and the one that they say is Yavon, beforehand or whatever, is Choshech. It's exactly the darkness, right? What's amazing is if you look at the letters of Yavon, it's Reb Shmuel Brazil, he's a Rosh Shiva for a little while, he was a Baal Menagin, he wrote the song Shalom Aleichem and all of, not the words, but and a lot of famous songs from the Regesh, but he also told this amazing Divrei Torah. So he says, even in the word Yavon, you could see that they were trying to enlighten the world, but each letter goes down and down and down. Right? Yud Vav Nun, it keeps going down and down and down. It's a downward trend, right? What did they want to do? What did the Yavonim want to do? They wanted to take away a famous thing. They asked Bris, they asked Shabbos, they asked Rosh Chodesh, right? What does that have to do? So Bris, we all know, is a connection with the Baruch Shalom. It's a Bris, right? The Gemara says that there are actually 13 different Brisim that take place at that moment, but it's a connection with Hashem. That connection they wanted to sever. Shabbos, of course, that's what we do. Shabbos is the ultimate connection, right? Of every day, every Shabbos, once a week, 7 days, God created the world. The seventh, why do we rest on the seventh, right? It's an amazing concept, right? Why do we have 30-day month? Why is the month 30 days? The moon, right? Okay, good, right? Why is the year 365? It's the sun, right? And all the, why is it day seven? Why is a week 7 days? Because God created the world in 7 days. Right, that's why. There's nothing that makes sense with the. I think I was doing studying with my daughter living environment last night. It wasn't on the list of where it was. Not that Andrew.
Universal too. I mean,
yeah, it's universal. Right, it was a movement at one point to make it five. I think there was something like that. Right, but that's an amazing thing. That's why, and people. But that's what, because there's a Rabbanu Shalom, because there's a God, and that's what was so amazing about the Greeks is they wanted to take that away. That's a unique quality. That hasn't happened. That very rarely happens. Even if you look into it, right? Even the religions that start post, Judaism, right? So they didn't say, oh, there's no God. There is a God. He created the world in 7 days. We're going to change our day of Sabbath, whatever we are, right? But we're going to keep that fact around. What's amazing is us. And then Chodesh is in it. Why Rosh Chodesh? So Chodesh is an amazing thing that, as we get closer to seeing what's the connection between the Baruch Shalom and Chodesh, because two things. Number one is, we are given that quality to Mekadesh the Levana, to Mekadesh Chodesh. It's something that we're a partnership with the Baruch Shalom. It's not only me, you you guys have to do. If you make Rosh Chodesh on a certain day, that's how the calendar works. It's not just God, right? Lo Bashamayim, he is a classic example. Rosh Chodesh is that example. And that's if a teacher, right, has only a you have to work, and just fill out this assignment, fill out that worksheet, and there's no connection, the students are never allowed to participate, usually that's not going to be a very successful teacher. But if you're allowed to, what is your input to that procedure, that's an amazing thing. Anybody have any questions at that point? Okay, good. So I have to open it up. Right? Also, the moon gets dark. We think that's our relationship. Sometimes we see that there's no Rabbanu Shalom. During the darkest time, that's when we're Mechadesh. That's when we start anew. And we'll get to that a little more in a few minutes, but that's really what it is. So if you look now, watch this, this is an amazing thing. If you go to the third pasuk in the next pasuk, right after this Medrash says that they're all, right? For Yomer Elokim, Yihi Or, Vihi Or. Right? What's the answer to get through Gullus? Yihi Or. There's light. Excuse me. Right? Now, if you do a little counting, you can do it on your own, but if you count the letters in the Torah, the 25th letter of the Torah, the 25th word of the Torah is, sorry, if you count the words, right, is Or. Chafei v'kislev, right, the 25th is that day. The 25th letter is Or. It's not happen chance, by the way. We could talk about this a different show I would give, but that Christmas is on the 25th. There is it didn't happen, right? There's a certain reason behind that number that they wanted to, other than the fact that January 1st is, right, also a bris, right, and we're getting back to that, right? For those of you who don't know, my father told me that February 2nd is Groundhog's Day, right? But it's also a Candlemas Day. That's the day Miriam brought her korban. Mary would bring her korban if the story happened. It didn't really happen on that day. That's a different issue, but we could talk about that at a different time. Maybe at a comparative religion year. But there is a something to that. Well, at different time, I'll come into your shir, and somehow I would go into, I used to work for NCSY, I would go into public school clubs, and I had a whole shir on Christmas and Hanukkah, and we would call it a CH shir, and how they compared, and we would discuss where they came from, and I would go through this whole thing, Candlemas Day, and because it was a public school, there was like Christian kids there, and they would start asking me questions, and I would say, like, I don't know, I'm not the, you know, I'm married. You can't, you know, like, ask your priest. But I don't really know the answers. So the kids would say, but we can't ask. Like, really, it's a lot of it was an interesting thing. And we would go into a lot of that history and where it came from. And it was intriguing. So we'll do that one day. An unbelievable Gemara. So we have this 25th day of Kislev. Is the last yontif that's going to get through this very dark galus yom, that's choshech. This Or is the answer to all the galus. It really encompasses, right? It stays with us, unfortunately. That aspect of Yavan did not go away. Did we ever beat Yavan? Probably not, right? We went into the base of Midrash, but it wasn't really clear because it was the base Chashmonai was the Kohanim were not supposed to be there. It wasn't the right way to beat them. We didn't beat them in the right way. The real way to beat them is when Mashiach comes. That's really, right? But we'll see how we can get there, but an amazing Gemara that most people don't learn in conjunction to Hanukkah, but it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. When I was in Yeshiva, we learned Avodah Zarah. It's not really, I don't know why the Yeshiva wanted to learn it that year, but it's not one of those popular Yeshivish Masechtas. It was one of the great experiences of my life. I asked your dad if he was there when I was there. Right, so the Gemara, bottom Gemara, it's a Tanur Banan, Lefishira Adam Rishon Yom Shemismad Veholech. Right, the days started getting shorter, right, because it Rosh Hashanah is the creation of man, right? Going back to that. So now, days start getting right. Remember Rosh Hashanah was a little while ago, but now the days are getting shorter. So Adam went through the same thing. This I did learn in living environment last night. Amar Aili, Shama Bishvil Shisarachti Olam Choshuch Ba'adi V'chozu L'tovo. Right? Maybe, what's death? Remember, Adam Rishon was punished with he's going to die. Okay, so if you're Adam Rishon, I tell you you're going to die. What does that mean?
You're going to die.
But what is death? I don't know. I've never experienced it before. I don't know what death is. So he sees that the world is getting shorter and shorter, and it's getting darker and darker. But Zuhu Misa, Sheniknasa, Alai Minashmaim, and this is going to be death. The world's just going to get darker and darker and darker, and that's it. It's just going to end. Amad V'yashav Ches Yamin B'tainis of Tefillah. He sat for 8 days as the winter solstice approaches in fasting. And davening. Kivan Shira Tkufas Teves, the winter solstice comes, what happens? The days start getting longer. Vayira Yom Shemarech Vaholich. Amar. Minhago Sha'olamu. It's the way of the world. Halach Vasashmana Yomim Tovim. He made an 8-day festival. L'shana Acheres, the next year, Asan Le'elul El Yom Tovim, made actually a 16-day festival before and after. Hu Kavim L'shem Shemayim. He establishes L'shem Shemayim. V'heim Kavim L'shem Avodas Kavim. And then the non-Jews took this 8-day time period and stole it from us, and then we didn't celebrate that holiday anymore. Up until we get to Chaf Hei B'Kislev, when we re-celebrate it. But before that, by the way, you still have the Mishkan took place on Chaf Hei B'Kislev. Ezra actually finished the Beis HaMikdash, the second one, Chaf Hei B'Kislev. It's an amazing concept of Kedushas Hayom. I won't say, but that's why it's called Black Friday. But it could be that how do we beat that is from the ore of this Yontif. And it's really a poetic, simple. Chanukah is like my favorite Yontif, other than I used to get gifts, right? But it's such a simple thing. The world's going to get dark during the darkest time of the year, during the last galus. How do we beat that with light, with one candle, with one little bit of ore? And it's all over the it's all over the place. And it's that Kedusha Hayom, that aspect of light, comes about from year one, right? From Adam Arishon, that happened to him. There was that Kedusha Hayom of 8 days even. The Ramban says famously, right, when the Nesiim bring all the korbanos, by when the Mishkan came about, right? So the Kohanim complained, Aaron complained, says, "What about me? I didn't have anything." So what do they give him? What do they say? What does Rosh Hashanah say? You light the menorah. So the Ramban asks, but that's also not going to last forever. So why do that'll be nitzchias? I'm sorry, that'll be nitzchias, right? That'll be forever, but it's not forever. So the Ramban answers, "What do you mean? That's what the menorah is. That's that attachment back to the original light in the menorah that represented Torah, that represented that light within the darkness." What's interesting is, by the way, if you learn Mishnayos, right, you'll see where is it? It's in Talmud. It's in right near the end there, right? But the light constantly burned miraculously, right? It was always burning, right? Yeah. It was always burning. So what was that? That wasn't a miracle of Doros. Just like the battle against the Yavanim wasn't a miracle of Doros. There's a lot of miracles that happen all the time. We didn't make holidays from that for them. Look all through Tanakh. There's a lot of miracles that take place. But the message of the menorah, which is why, that's why the Gemara says, that's why Rashi says, why, what nace? Not this, not the lions winning, right? Not the Yavanim winning, not the Chashmonaim winning. That's a nace. For sure, it's an amazing thing. But that's not what we're celebrating. That's not the Doros. For that time period, it was amazing. There's probably, there's tons of... If you look back in the Gemara, actually, it says, that last line in the Gemara is also very telling. L'shana Acheres, right? When did they start, when did they establish Hanukkah? When? The year later. Why not, the third of Teves? Wow, that was a miracle. 8 days. Let's make a holiday next year. Why'd they wait till the next year? See if it would last. The light only lasted 8 days. Right. So now feeling is a word you and I can have, right? Like, oh, feeling like I feel pretty. Like, oh, I was at a Kumsitz, I feel really good. Right? I don't know. That's an important thing. But that's not how we establish holidays, thank God. Because, right, that's it's more of a Kedusha Sayom. So if you're someone who's in tune with that, right? If you wrote it for the Gemara, you could be in tune for that, right? If you felt the Kedusha Sayom, we felt the spirituality, and we feel that, right? Yom Kippur and Elah, you get that Kedusha Sayom of forgiveness. Sometimes, if you really get in touch, right? And Chanukah is a dangerous holiday because of the time period it has, and because there's no Yontif, and there's no, Isser Malacha, and because so much is going on, and we're stuck in this secular world of gifts and everything, and you should get gifts. I'm not saying that, right? But there is a minhag in our family that you have to say a Dvar Torah to get a gift. Because at least there should be something, right? Unless you're like 5 or below, and then you could sing a Hanukkah song. Or apparently my daughter told me if you're 14 or above, once you become a teenager, you don't have to do this anymore. And never argue with a 14-year-old girl, and that's fine. 13 is different. You could discuss. I don't know. The rule came about. Discussion, negotiations, 14-year-old girls are like, right? I gave up. and Arya, that's why I went to MTA. Snow days are important. That's also true, but so that's really the poetic beauty in the day and that connection to Orah. If you look in the halachas of the day, that's why I just quoted a few. But as you go through all the halachas of Hanukkah, you'll notice this popping up all over the place, right? The Sif Zayin in the Kitzer says, I'll just go to the highlighted parts, right? You should light, but Pesach HaSamach L'Rishus HaRabim. What, I mean, other than Sukkot, but we're still in a house, in right? But like, when do we do things outside? Right? When do we take that outside? This is, Hanukkah is, it's dark outside. Nonetheless, I am going to put my menorah outside. Okay, so now we don't do it. Sukkot, I said Sukkot, yeah, that's it. But we're still enclosed there. We got to be somewhere enclosed in. But you're right. So now at least we'll put it out in the window. We want other people to see it. There's an aspect of Persume Nisa, but the Persume Nisa concept also is, I need to show people. It might look dark, but there's light there. There's going to be a certain amount of light there. It's an amazing, real quick, there's an amazing Dvar Torah from Rabbi Steinwurzel, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Babov, says that when you walk in, everyone knows the mezuzah is on the right, and the menorah is supposed to be on the left, right? That's when you walk into the house. When you walk out of the house, the mezuzah is on the left, and the Hanukkah menorah is on the right. Mezuzah small, yamin Hanukkah. Right? Mezuzah is left, yamin Hanukkah. That's the Osios HaMashiach. Mezuzah small, yamin Hanukkah. When we can get the message of Hanukkah so strong that we could take it out to the world, he says that's when Mashiach will come. Okay, you could tell it to your local Chabad emissary, or you could also use it in your own. I think we all want Mashiach. The Siv Ches is Mitzvah Alanichem L'malam Shlosha Tvachim Minakarka L'matim Asar Tvachim. The best place to put the menorah is somewhere between 3 and 10 Tvachim. It's known, it's brought down. I don't know much about the Shekhinah, but apparently I was told that the Shekhinah doesn't come below 10 Tvachim. Okay? And you could light up to 20, but why do we light the menorah Dafka below 10 Tvachim? Because even when there's no Shekhinah, even I think it's so dark, it looks so dark to me, but nonetheless, I want you to know there's an Or. That's that famous song that's hitting the Israeli circuit all over the place and somewhere in America, right? Vafilu Bahastara, you should look it up, right? The guys know it, right? Vafilu Bahastara, it's such an amazing thing. And what's the words? Even in the darkest dark, where we think there's no Rabban Shalom, there is Rabban Shalom. That's what carries us through Gullus. Isn't that how we get through Gullus? That's the message. Hanukkah, that last Yontif, that's what's going to get us through. It's so dark, but I'll light a menorah. I'm attaching myself back to the base on Migdash, right? The Sif Yud Zman Halakas Miyad says Chavim. Right when's the best time to light? Right when it gets dark. As soon as the stars come out, light your menorah. In your life, the same thing. Also, it says I'll tell you this is a very Hasidish part, but it's also true. It says what time is the best time to light? Up until Achatech Tichla Regel Min Ashuk, till people stop walking in the shuk. So I forget who says it, but I know his name ends in Rebbe, or starts, is that Asha Tichla Regilus Minashuk. When you get your regularity from, right? If you can enlighten, if you can bring some light to your mitzvah. If you're, like, we daven by rote. We do mitzvahs by rote. You know, but if you get the regularity out of it, that's Asha Tichla Regilus Minashuk. If I can, that's the best time to light, right? And Yud Aleph, right? Mezuzah Alav, Nir Keneged Tzmol, that's back to the surround yourself by mitzvos. And my favorite one is Yud Gimel, Kaimelon Halakha Osa Mitzvah. Perish Halakha Yimitzvah, lighting the menorah is the mitzvah. How long does the menorah have to last to burn? 30 minutes, right? Or depending when, but right? Ubishas halacha, right? It's not a test, that one. There's Ubishas halacha, tzrichin lios aneros b'mekom anaroi kasherai. What happens if you light it and it blows out? You relight it. Do you have to relight it? No. Why? When do you have to relight it? When do you not have to relight it? You do have to relight it.
If it blows out after 30 minutes.
If it had enough to last, or you put it in a place, let's say you put it by the, if you set it up in a place where it wasn't going to burn for half an hour, you put it right by the door where your kids are always walking in and out, you knew that it was going to blow out, that you're not Yotze that, right? You didn't put enough oil in, that doesn't count. But if you put enough oil in, you put it in the right spot, and it goes out, you don't have to relight it. You should, but you don't have to. You did the mitzvah, right? So what happens if in Gullus, you tried, but I failed? That's okay. we're big believers in that. It's an amazing thing. As we get, there's an amazing Rifutner. It's my favorite. I think it was right when I was your age. Someone taught me this. That Rifutner says on an amazing thing. The Rabbanu Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, he says when he broke Luchos. You know what Rabbanu Shalom says to Moshe? Right, Yasher Koach Sheshbarta. Great job, you broke the Luchos. Right, it's amazing. What? So Rifutner says, great job, you broke the Luchos. Yeah, because when the Luchos were broken, Torah was forgotten. Now that we have to work back to put it back together, each time we learn, we get more schar. If it wouldn't have been memorizing for a test, as we said before, I'll follow you, let me know if there's any traffic. If we would have just memorizing for a test, it's much, much less. Right? When are you allowed to run on Shabbos? There's one time you're allowed to run on Shabbos. To shul, right? You're allowed to run to shul. Okay. When are you allowed to walk past the shul? There's two minyanim, right? La halacha, you're not supposed to walk past one and go to the other. For mitzvos, except for shul. It's an interesting halacha, right? Why? Schar halicha. You can go from one shul to another, right? That's you're allowed to do that. But normally, when we light the menorah, we make sure we go from starting from the end back. But you're allowed to, because if I'm working on something, that's schar. So, yasher koach shabarta. Golus, we forgot Torah, but in a certain way, that bad part really works for our good. You can tell your Rebbe that. Like, I know I failed this test. But I really did it so that Yashiko Shabbat, I'm following the Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I only wanted to do that. But that's working hard. To halakha osa mitzvah, you may fail sometimes. If anybody tells you you're going to be 100% all the time, it's not going to work. Now, going back to the study, Marshall, one other amazing thing about fire and ore is that if you, ready, let's say we're studying together with someone for a test. If you study with someone for a test, you don't lose out. Unless that person is not letting you study, right? But if when you give a candle to another candle, that original candle loses nothing, right? That's really how we get through Golus. It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful yontif, full of simple messages to get through that. I'll tell you one quick added point, and I want to get to try to figure out what or is, and then maybe we'll end with one or two stories. The second last, I think it's, maybe where is it on here? The Pasuk in Bereishis. So just going back to this word, Chanukah. Someone told me this the other day. It's an amazing thing. When Avram Avinu goes to fight the four kings, five kings, and he takes Eliezer, and this is the Pasuk we all know, right? How many people go with Avram? 300. Close. 318, right? So that's, right? That's Gematria Eliezer, Rashi, right? That's one of the Peshatim. And maybe he only took him and Eliezer, right? And which is also, right? Which is also a Chanukah-esque type of miracle also. But the Pasuk says, V'yishma Avram ki nishba elchiv, his brother was taken captive, V'yirek es chanichov, and he, you know, he set up, He emptied out. He armed his troops. Yulide beso shmonasar shlosh meos v'yirdof adon. Right. So Rashi says, what's the word chanichov mean? Chanicho ksiv without the yud. Right. Ze Eliezer. Right. What's Eliezer? Shechancho lemitzvos. He taught him mitzvos. V'hu lashon hascholos knisas adam. It's gathering, the beginning a process with some of gathering people. Oh, klil omnus, either gathering people or gathering arms. Shehu asid lamod lo ba. Then in the future, he would be able to establish himself. What's Chanukah? What's Chinuch? I always tell people, what's the greatest Chinuch holiday moment that exists? You would think, but no. What is the what? Pesach, the Seder, right? Amazing. It is chinuch. It is, right? It's such a clear, obvious moment. It's the greatest teaching moment of all time. You don't even need Hashem in that story. Right? I'm sorry, you don't even need Moshe in that story. Right? Sorry, I didn't want to tell you. Sorry, I apologize. Right? You don't need Moshe in that story. You'll see where I'm going in this. Right? You don't need Moshe. Moshe's not in the Haggadah. Because it was such an obvious Gilui Rabbanu Shalom. But that's not what the purpose of chinuch is. if you look, go through the Kedushas Hayom, if you go through Pesach's the first Yom Tif, according to calculations of how we do Moadim, so Pesach's the first Yom Tif. What's the farthest Yom Tif away from Pesach? Purim. If you go in a cycle, right? If we're circling, right? Like if that's it, right? Purim. What happens on Purim? What happens to God?
Not there.
He's gone. I went through the whole year, he's gone. Right? And there's even a halacha brought down that on the second night of Pesach, you're supposed to mention Purim at the Suda. That was the night Haman was hung. We sang Shoshanah Yaakov at our Seder this year. Next year, we have a whole plan. We're going to try to figure out a way to bake a Pesach Hamantashen, and we're going to go. I'm going to send my kids. We have a very active Seder, if you can imagine. I'm going to send my kids out to my neighbors next door on both sides with Shalach Manos on the second night. They are super excited about this. They are pumped. But what's the message? The message is Chinuch on that night. Chinuch is not for the classroom, right? We don't teach you for this month. I'm not teaching you about Hanukkah for now. It's for the rest of your life. It's for the future. Did your Rebbe teach you something that's going to help you when you leave yeshiva? That's really what the purpose is, right? That's why I figured out why I learned algebra. I didn't know this for years. Years. I never know why I learned algebra. Until my son came home with algebra homework. And it all made sense to me then. Oh, now I have a reason to, right? But there are other reasons to learn algebra. But for me, that was... But what's the purpose of chinuch? So here we see Hanukkah is not, in the word itself, in chinuch itself, it's not for that only its time period. It's for the future, and it's a beautiful Rashi. Chinuch is la'asid, to the future. And this is our yontif that'll get us to the future. That or. What is the or? So you all have to try to figure that out in a certain way yourself. It's a little esoteric. You could say or is Utorah, and you can ask Ari in camp with me this summer. I constantly was mentioning, right, when you learn Torah, the Baruch Shalom's talking to you. When you daven, you're talking to the Baruch Shalom, it creates a relationship. That light, you can see that Ora is the realization that you are a light in the darkness, right? At the end of Shabbos, Shabbos is bookended by Or. That's an interesting concept. Or Lagayim, or a light. That could be one way to establish. Or really, it's whenever anything enlightens you in your life. I hate to use the pun, but it's true. Whenever you see a little or, that's what it is. That's a message from the Baruch Shalom, right? It's a true thing. Like, in other words, when there's a rabbi I know who says, the Kippah Hashkacha Pratis book, right? When do things happen to you that are amazing that happened to you, right? The fact that I didn't die this morning after I did a 360 on the term or whatever it was on that thing, right? That's you thank the Baruch Shalom because that happened to you. But that's, wow, it could have been a second later, a bunch of cars came by. Thanks for protecting me. I wonder if I wasn't coming to this year, what would have happened, right? That's I wouldn't have been driving here, but that's the other guys, right? But the Baruch Shalom wanted to remind me of that. Maybe that was the purpose, is to share a story with you. Two quick stories just to end off. So that's, you all have to, everyone over Hanukkah maybe has to find their or. I will tell you that as much as my mom gets mad at me that I tell the story that they got me a turkey t-shirt all the time for my bar mitzvah, but in the end of, we moved a lot when I was growing up. My father was a rav and we moved a lot. I root for 3 football teams. And I always tell people, listen, if you want, I'll stay and live in one city, and I'm more than happy to root for one team. Maybe not the Lions, but the rest of you, but I moved, I earned this. So growing up, it was very hard. The hardest part, by the way, I was listening to Weinberger Shear driving here, the hardest part of darkness is when you're in it. Not before, not after. The hardest part of darkness is that darkest day. That's maybe why, right, that's why Hanukkah takes place. It's the only time when the moon, there's a Rosh Chodesh, the moon goes dark. I need to remind you, during that darkest part, when you're going through, looking back at things, we could always see, now I see some light. Right? But it's always hard during the darkest part. And I tell you, honestly, there were parts growing up when I was moving around all the time, it was difficult. But looking back now, so I gained so many friends. I learned so many skills. I have so many stories in my life. I wanted to go in chinuch. I could share a billion stories from, you were here, great. You were in Baltimore, I know here. Florida, great. You were in... No one was from Reading, Pennsylvania, but if you have Monopoly, at least I was there. I've been to the Reading Railroad to leave. Right, that was that. There's a lot of good. So even in that turkey story, so looking back, it was probably a little embarrassing, but I can use it all the time and say when you look back at it, I still have the T-shirt, but and I really am thankful for my parents looking back Yeah, this is a good teenage message. Their thought process was very, very good. They really tried and cared, and they knew we had just moved, and it was a whole thing. And Baruch Hashem, they tell a famous story. I don't know if it's true or not. It's a famous. It may or may not be true, but the message is there that you can look it up online. I won't give you the full story, but we'll end with two stories because I think they're important. There's a story, if you look it up online, the Hanukkah candle that inspired George Washington. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that story, but supposedly Valley Forge, if someone did the math, it was Hanukkah when they were stuck in Valley Forge. And they tell a story of one soldier who was a Jew, and he was in Valley Forge, and he had left Europe because it was persecuted. He was just sick of watching the pirates beat his father down, and he left and he went to America. And as he was leaving, his father said, "Take this Hanukkah menorah; it'll always stay with you for light." And he says how they're in Valley Forge; it's cold, and he sees George Washington walking around, covering soldiers up cold, and he lights his menorah. And George Washington walks over to him and says, "Why are you crying? Are you cold?" And he says, "No, I'm not cold. I'm just celebrating Hanukkah, and I'm remembering how the pirates used to hurt my father, but I also know that there is a God in heaven, and he will always help us be successful, and you, Mr. Washington, General Washington, right, at that point, will also be successful. We will win, just like the Maccabees won, for ourselves, for all those who come here, and to build a new land and new lives." And the general got up, and his face was shining. Next year in Hanukkah, 1776, President Washington comes to him. And he says, "Behold the wonderful candle." He comes to his house, and the candle of hope proclaimed joyously. And when he saw it, George Washington says, "When I saw that candle, I knew there was hope for us to be victorious." And he gave him a medal, and for that night, and the president shook my hand and departed me. And so, on the bottom of the story, it's a true story. Whether it's true or not, the message is so poignant. Like, the same kind of thing. Is that really, that happened? It's a little more closer in time when we can, lahavdil, right? It was an amazing victory that we had. And to see that light, we also have to look during the darkest times to look at the Hanukkah light. They tell, there's an interesting debate that goes on amongst mechanchim, amongst educators and people in NCSY and people who are storytellers. Do you tell Holocaust stories? A lot of people are like, don't tell them. People don't care. It's back in the past. And why are we bringing up such tragedies? Whenever I have a story like that, I'm often, should we tell it or not? And as I was preparing for this year, I said, it's just the opposite. The darkness is a fact of life. But it can make us grow stronger. And there are moments where we need to remember that, because if we think the same thing, hadlako osamitzah, there are things that get dark. So, last story, last 1 minute of your time. And then we can finish up the donuts. You got to do that. It's a Hanukkah tradition. That the Blizhiv Rebbe was in Bergen-Belsen. And they found a little shoe polish. And they got an old hollowed out shoe, and they decided they were going to light menorah that night. So the Blizhiv Rebbe goes, and the people gather up in his, and it was a bad day in the camp, and there was beatings and actions and this and that. And the Blizhiv Rebbe goes and he makes the first bracha. He makes the second bracha. And he's about to make the Shachianu. He looks around. He hesitates. And he makes the Shachianu. And a member of the Bund party, right, never the most pro-Jewish out there, says to him, he says, "Rabbi, come on. How could you make Shachianu v'kiyamanu v'zmanazeh? Here? Now? That Hashem kept us alive now?" So he said to him, he goes, "That's why I paused. That's why I hesitated. But I looked around the room, and I saw all these Jews around who wanted to be part of Hanukkah menorah. Not only me, but there was a ton of Jews here. And through the darkest time that they could see that light, yeah, that Ribbono Shel Olam I want to be part of," right? And that's really the message. And hopefully we should all only know light for all the days. But when it does get a little dark, in whatever it is, in our own individual darkness, it could be you're having a bad day. It could be, today's day and age, they always say like that this is one of the hardest times that are around. Even though, technology is full of light, but it's really full of darkness sometimes. It's hard. And through those challenges, we should all be zocha, as Hanukkah comes, to really be mechazik ourselves, to get in touch with that kedushas hayom of Or, and that when we feel a little like we're minute, don't worry, that's the nace itself, is that a little oil, a few makabim, a few kohanim can be victorious. And shkariach to everyone for coming out today. I know that we have a lot to do to prepare, so thank you all for coming.
My pleasure. Let's stop that, right?